I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. We're going to spend the next few minutes talking about doing business in Japan. It's often said that the country's business climate is stuck in the 1980s, when companies like Sony and Honda ruled the electronics and auto industries. These days, not so much. In a few minutes, we're going to hear how some Japanese startups are slowly helping Japan make a name for itself again and challenging the giants of Silicon Valley, too. But first, we check in with William Saito. He's a Japanese-American businessman who's advising Japan's Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe. Saito says the country's business leaders are still working to shed their old ways.
I think the biggest issue there was that the Japanese, and especially large corporations, believed in themselves too much, and that words like Kaizen became common English phrases.
What does Kaizen
mean? Kaizen now, I have to explain this these days, but it's basically was meant to describe the incremental improvements to make things just continuously better. And at the end, you get this product that is the best quality, the smallest, the fastest, the shiniest. And because of the way that organizations are run here, very hierarchical and such, the input from the rest of the world didn't seep through, that innovation continues to change and that the world evolves. And when you believe in yourself too much, you think that the Walkman or the CD is going to last you a lifetime.
So you have the ear of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. What do you tell him? What's your mega business advice on how to turn this around?
In the Japanese environment, it's not really for the lack of money. And in fact, it's a converse where I feel that there's actually too much subsidies and too much money by the governments, and that they tend to prop up companies that in normal countries should have failed. And when the government tends to use their old tools of propping it up with money, you don't have this hunger to really try hard or to innovate and take risks.
So Prime Minister Abe went to Silicon Valley in April. He met with Mark Zuckerberg and Yahoo co-founder Jerry Yang. What did Abe learn, and what's the kind of spirit of Silicon Valley that he wants to transplant in Japan? Is that a goal?
Yeah, so a lot of that, I mean, I was with him on that trip. And the biggest thing that struck the Prime Minister, I think, was, number one, the youth. Whereas in Japanese-like culture, people like that wouldn't be given the time of day, frankly. Number two, I think the diversity of who is doing this. There were so many different types of people, and it's really that diversity that gives Silicon Valley that edge. And then, you know, I think the biggest third point was that people were pretty open about how they failed and talking about failure in an open way, and that this is really a constructive, destructive thing, and that really is the basis of innovation.
William, you said recently that you can see Japan being the leader in cybersecurity. Is that a case of Japanese learning to innovate or taking advantage of skill sets that they already possess?
When you have nothing to protect, I think you could write on a whole new sheet of paper a new way, a new type of thinking on cybersecurity to create a whole new type of industry. And Japan has actually done this once before in the past, where the automobiles that Japan produced in the early 70s were, you know, really bad. They broke down, their fuel efficiency was low, and the United States really got on Japan's case that, you know, hey, you had to clean up your act or you can't sell your cars in the States. And Japan really took that to heart, and they spent a lot of energy and effort, and as you see today, the results of that are very fuel efficient, very safe, very non-polluting cars. And so, given that DNA, I think you could take that energy, bottle it up, and then create this whole new generation, I think, of security product.
Was the 2011 earthquake and meltdown a moment for some Japanese to just reconsider the whole idea of business, industry, and growth? I mean, how inhibiting was that event to business in Japan? And are there people who urge a more modest approach to economic achievement?
There is that argument, but for various reasons, Japan has accumulated this tremendous amount of debt. And, you know, I keep telling the Japanese that we cannot rest on our laurels, that we have a duty not only to the next generation, but for the rest of the world, that we need to create innovative new companies that are taxable and people paying taxes on income and so on to pay down this debt and to create this next generation of Sonys and the new Apples of the world here.
Japanese-American businessman William Saito. He advises Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on business. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.